In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Fundamental to our Jewish fathers and mothers in the faith was the covenant which God had made with them at Mount Sinai, the Old Covenant. And so, when God promised through the prophet Jeremiah to make a new covenant, it was a big deal. A covenant not written in stone, as what were the law on Mount Sinai, or on flesh, as was written on the flesh of every male Israelite child on the eighth day after their birth, but a covenant written upon the soul by water and the Holy Spirit. A covenant which gives grace, God's own life, and knowledge of the Lord. Now, it's important that we remember that a covenant is not a contract. You know, we don't sit down with God and negotiate. Say, hey, God, you give me a new Mercedes-Benz, and I will worship you. And a covenant isn't void if the lesser party doesn't live up to it. This is why God did not abandon the children of Israel. Chastised them, yes, but did not abandon them. Is rather a relationship or a bond. And the Old Covenant was good. They were given laws which allowed them to walk in a way pleasing to God. But the New Covenant is better, because it takes the Old Covenant and it perfects it. It makes those who participate in it not merely worshipers of God, but makes them his adopted sons and daughters. The Old Covenant was established with mighty deeds. Think of the plagues which God visited upon the Egyptians to make Pharaoh let his people go. Think about the destruction of the Egyptian army at the Red Sea. And when God himself gave his law to Moses at Mount Sinai. As mighty as those deeds were, they pale in comparison to the establishment of the new covenant, in which, in the person of Christ, who is true God and true man, and his sacrifice upon the cross, God draws all people to himself. We heard in our second reading from the letter to the Hebrews, how Christ, the eternal high priest, offered prayers and supplications from the cross. Cries so loud that they cast down the devil. And this sacrifice, this one sacrifice, made him the source of salvation for all. So that there is no other name on heaven, in the heavens, and on earth, or under the earth, by which men can be saved. Not Zeus, not Odin, not Muhammad, not Buddha, no other name. It is only through Christ that we can be saved. And the sacrifice was made at his hour. If you read the Gospel according to St. John, we hear about the hour of the Lord. When his enemies try to capture him and arrest him, he's able to escape. Why? Because it's not his hour yet. Christ goes willingly to be sacrificed, so that when his hour comes, he hands himself over to evil men to suffer and to die and be raised from the dead. And that time, that hour, was foretold by the coming of the Greeks. Because the new covenant is not just for the sons and daughters of Abraham, but for all the children of Israel. And so when the Greeks came and said to Philip, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." And Philip and Andrew went to Jesus and informed him of it. Jesus knew that this was the sign that his hour had come, that it was the time for the Son of Man to be glorified. Remember, Jesus emptied himself of glory when he became incarnate. Now is the time for him to take up his glory again. in the most remarkable way possible by being lifted up upon the cross. Remember, that is when he comes into his kingdom. Upon the cross between the two thieves, as he suffers and dies for us. And we have a chance to participate in that sacrifice by allowing our crosses to be united to his. And this sacrifice is ratified by the Father. His voice thunders from heaven. Jesus says, "Father, glorify your name." And the voice comes from heaven and says, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." God's name is glorified by the obedience of Christ upon the cross. And it is glorified in every believer who unites himself to the cross and who lives and who dies and who rises again in Christ. The Son of Man is lifted up upon the cross at this hour. And upon the cross he casts out the devil, he breaks his power, and he draws all who are willing to accept salvation to himself, both in this world and, more importantly, in the next, in heaven itself. The hour is here. Remember, this hour isn't just merely an historical event, something that happened 2,000 years ago, but it is something which is present to us continually in Christ, through him, through his church, through the sacraments, most especially through the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And during this time of the year, we particularly commemorate that hour. We begin the part of Lent which is known as Passion Time, where we reflect upon, in a very particular way, the suffering of our Lord. Next weekend, we will commemorate the Lord's entrance into Jerusalem, and we will hear the gospel of the Passion. During Holy Week, we will celebrate the central mysteries of our faith with Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and Easter Sunday. These are the things which save us. But in spite of the fact that we commemorate them in a very particular way during this time, we need to remember that they are always present to us. The only thing we ever need to worry about is whether we are present and accept the reality of the Lord's hour, of his suffering, death, and resurrection. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.